Log Talk Radio.
All right, November 14th, the UAW Factory Whistle Show. We have, of course, Scotty, and of course, Jimmy, and of course, Carrie, and we got 313, and anybody else. We had a lot of people on the switchboard already. Push one on your keypad if you'd like to join the show, and take it away, you guys. It's all yours.
Well,
hello.
Jim, I'll let you. Well, you put the big news out. What happened this last week?
Who's that? Me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I just see we got another convicted felon and another president is being indicted. And if you want to stay with your delegate system, you might as well get used to this taste in your mouth. That's all I got to say. And by the way, folks, I got my fifth ballot today. I don't understand this shit.
Your fifth ballot?
Yeah, I'm up north hunting, and I called to tell my bride I missed her, and she informed me one came yesterday.
Well, I'll be damned. Oh, this is going to be a good election. Can you imagine?
I'm beating the old man now, Scott. Hell, the dead boy got three real quick, but then they chimed down on him, but now they're getting me. But what I'm wondering, Scott, is when I asked that UAW auditor, whatever you want to call that lady, when I called at that election place, she told me when they mail out the second ballot, that automatically kills your first ballot. Is this how they're going to stop me from voting, mailing me ballots?
Wow. I was going to say maybe it's along the lines of if they send too many ballots out and people start using multiple ballots, that gives them the opportunity to say, no, there was misappropriation and that the vote was no good, and they're going to start this process over again.
Yeah, just tell me on the phone, if you get a second ballot, you have to pass that ballot because before they send that ballot, they kill the other ballot because you didn't do it. Because like I told you, I mailed every ballot I got in, and then in a week, less than a week, 3 days, the last time I got another ballot.
Oh, I can hear you. Okay. Now, when 313 comes on, you guys got to speak a little bit louder, and that's fine. Just a little bit louder.
A little bit louder.
Well, I just said I'm talking to some co-workers, and they did send their ballot in. So, and that's refreshing to find out that some of these people are sending it in.
Oh, yes, I agree with that, Carrie. I mean, I know a lot of people that got their ballots. I'm just wondering, why am I getting so many? You know, I have not requested another ballot. Are they numbered? No, not that I see. Nowhere that I can see.
Well, they still got to go. I don't care. I'll fight till there's no more fighting left to get rid of them.
Yeah.
Amen, sister, but I don't get it.
They do have a scan thing on there, right? You can.
On the ballot. That's on the envelope. And if you notice on the envelope, it shows the return address of your own local union. All of mine have been going to 659 as a return address.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Oh, now that might scare the shit out of me.
You know, your prepaid envelope that they sent you?
Yeah.
Mine was for Connecticut.
Return address over there. There's a weird looking shit in there, but it's all going back to 659 bands like Flint.
No. Mine went to Connecticut.
I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that envelope. But over in the top left corner is your return address. They had that pre-filled out is what I'm saying, and it was directed instead of per se to my house. It was going to my local.
Huh.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
I don't know. I'm just confused. I pray to God it comes out the way I want it to come out. This new, going back to what Scott was talking about, I believe it was the financial secretary for Local 412 was indicted, and they claim they got the goods on him embezzling, what was it, $2 million?
Yep.
Not just that, but they got him on candid camera at Greektown Casino.
Oh, yeah.
Around at the table. That's what kind of
clown
is that? That is a regular clown.
No. I can tell you Norwood Jewel and the chairman of my plant were over there in, what is it, Mount Pleasant, in a company vehicle on a Sunday on the company clock gambling, and they had that on film. But, you know, there was just a few grievances thrown out for that shit back then.
Well, if you're stupid enough to go to a casino while you're embezzling money, you are a real clown.
No, honey. He told you they're entitled to that. That's why we got to get rid of these chumps. They literally think that they're entitled to do this.
Oh, wait a minute. Let's talk about Curry taking football tickets. Now, this is your current president, everybody. Getting tickets. And at that time, he would have been, the secretary treasurer? Or was he already, he took tickets from a vendor, and that's okay. But he paid the money back, allegedly.
He's under.
Scott, is that you?
It's me. Hello.
You sound like, I don't know what the hell you sound like. Where are you at?
I'm that's all I'm playing.
Because you don't sound like.
I'm sorry. He's under ethical investigation now. Our current president.
Correct. I believe he was indicted. Was he not Wednesday or Thursday? He finally was fully indicted?
Might be.
We're talking about
Curry.
The other guy that was sitting there. Now, Curry, if you read the papers.
Curry was indicted this week, was he not?
Well, I think that what the article I read said that he was one of 17 that they're still investigating, and he took tickets to an Alabama game, and they caught him doing that. But I guess they're going to give the feds are going to give him a pass on that.
What?
I swear to God, it was in the paper.
You know what? The membership needs to wake up. The membership needs to wake up. 90% of these conviction felons we have already got a pat on the back and a get out of jail free card because they didn't go to prison. They're wearing a tether. And then from one president to another president, even though it's in our Constitution, when they do this shit, they should lose that pension and that health care. That ain't happening. We're still paying their legal bills, and that's still going on, even though they're guilty. Everybody says, well, we have an insurance policy to pay for that up to a certain dollar amount, and then we flip the rest. I mean, it just got to stop, people. They can't even run on their membership. I was doing some research tonight. How can this administration caucus say they're doing good for the membership when they've lost 1.2 million jobs since 1981? And I'm talking about U.S. workers paying dues to the three. And then it was, I think there was considered the Big Four because I believe AMC was still in the game. But, 1.2, there was over 1.5 million UAW workers in 1982.
Right. Wow.
That's a hell of a record to stand on, isn't it? Take it away, Karen.
Hold on for a minute. We've got 9-8.
I'm just saying. Right here.
Greetings to rabble rousers.
Greetings,
hey,
Paul.
You sound pretty wound up tonight.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Well, we need to continually remind a handful of people that's listening to us shoot the bull that they need to send in their ballot and mark for direct election because we have a leadership now that doesn't care what we want, only care about what management wants. It was management that wanted team concept, not the membership. It was management that wanted plants to close. It was not the membership. It was management that wanted to get rid of job classifications so they could work the crap of a 50 or 60-year-old auto worker and injure him and force him to retire. We'll never have a union that's in tune with the membership until we have the power to remove these people from office. But regarding the shenanigans that's going on, the reason I think it's going on is this. The people that originally set up jointness, men like Owen Bieber, understood that there were laws that govern what union leaders can do. And they tried to make sure they didn't do things that were illegal, but the people that came after them don't know the difference between unethical and illegal, and that's why they're getting popped. And I think the reason these people are not losing their pensions is because almost everybody is dirty, and if you take away their pension, they'll spill the beans on somebody else so they lose their pension. So they're all shutting their mouths and not making any motion or any they're not making any effort to put the screws to each other because they know they'll be next on the chopping block. The union is so corrupt, I don't think the internet or the government knows what to do about it. Because everybody that's holding office now was trained by the criminals.
That's right. Let me get 313 on. It's spinning, spinning. 313, you're on. 313, you want to say something? 313-663. Putting you back.
Hey, hey.
Oh, okay. All right. He's working. Okay. Go ahead, Scotty, Jimmy.
All right. So it seems as though we might have changed hands, but it seems like the same shenanigans is going on down to International.
Five. Jimmy got five ballots. Well, that's not too bad.
Yep.
What gets me, Scott, yeah, the only thing that's changed down there is, the nameplate on the door. And I still have not been able to find out if they sold the real estate on Jefferson Avenue. And if they did, what did they do with that money? Think about that one, people. That was our house. That was our history house. How the hell could they sell that or screw with Black Lake like they've done?
Well, that money will come in handy to pay legal bills, Jim.
Good point.
Yeah, but it's not their money.
Yeah.
Well, they think it's their money.
They won't have to touch them offshore accounts.
Well, I don't know whose money they think it is, but they don't think it's ours.
You're right, Paul.
And then I think with the deer situation, if you look at that, I actually think they're trying to, how would you say it, save face a little bit with them people, but, with this last and final offer. But their situation is so much different than ours, Scott, if you look at that. Take it away, guys. But, yeah, they're a lot different than us.
Yeah. Well,
every contract offer has been a little bit better than what they had. There was really no concessionary. Or when ours is, what I mean is, all our contracts is what they've done is, yeah, we might have got a little bit of a raise, but we got another tier of discrimination is what I call it, and that's what the hell it is. Or last time you got unlimited number of temp workers in the plan, if I remember right. They changed the percentage formula. I don't see how you can call somebody a temporary worker if they're working 40 or 40-plus hours a week. That's not temporary, people. Even the government, I thought, said that 32 hours, wasn't it? If you worked over 32 or 34, the company you work for had to offer you something? Wasn't that the way it was back in the day?
Used to be.
I don't remember back in the day.
Well, what I mean is I had friends. Well, hell, my ex-wife worked at Sears, and once she got 34 hours, she was entitled to their benefit package. So they had to work them all 28 hours and less and keep them at the part-time status is what I meant.
Yeah, I remember those days when other places, yeah. Everybody was kept at part-time. Well, we got a lot of callers.
Please press one.
If you'd like to join while I'm at the switchboard, push one. Because I don't.
Right.
Here, I'll go.
I do not stay on the switchboard. Let me get, I think this is Frank. Let me get you on. Anybody like to join before I go to, I'm going to go to read some articles on the UAW. No? Okay, go ahead, Scotty. Jimmy, Carrie, anybody, Paul.
So, trying to figure out what's going on, see if we can get an update with the gear workers.
All right.
I'm going to read something here in a minute. Also, I'll just put this out. I'm trying to help spread it out, too, that if you were in the military before 2002, you can get an additional $1,200 a year. It's an extra $100 per month in Social Security. But you have to ask for it, and almost nobody knows about it.
You can get what?
An additional $100 per month in Social Security.
All right. Tell us how to do it, Scotty. You brought it up.
You get a hold of your Social Security, your Social Security benefit.
All right.
It is DD-214.
If you're in
Social Security benefits for vets. Pardon?
Oh, yeah. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Didn't mean to interrupt you.
It is DD-214.
Yeah, your DD-214, when you get out of the military, you'll have your DD-214. Mine is downstairs, if I can find it. And if you can't find it, you can call or request a copy from the Defense Department, by the way.
It says, I'm looking at the note. It says, for those with active duty between January of 1957 to December 31st of 2001.
Oh, there's a time date on it.
Yeah. So if you qualify for a higher Social Security payment because of your military service or active duty anytime through those time frames, the program was done away with on January 1st, 2002, up to $1,200 per year of earnings credited at the time of application, which can make a substantial difference in Social Security monthly payments upon your retirement. You must bring your DD-214 to the Social Security office and must ask for this benefit to receive it. So that would be you, Adrian, JJ. I don't know if Paul served or not. It's just something to help, I guess.
Well, yeah, an extra $100.
Right.
Buy a couple of prescriptions, maybe.
Yeah. Or take your wife out for a couple of nights for dinner. I don't know. So, all right. Real quick, this is kind of long. Jimmy had already commented on it, and so has JJ. Excuse me. This is a message from the bargaining team at John Deere. In discussing what may happen next,
several have expressed interest being able to detail options for the company if the strike continues through next week and beyond. Excuse me. A summary of the known options the company may choose from are below. They could continue to negotiate, attempt to meet member demands by increasing the value term conditions of the tentative agreement and the LBF offer, hold firm, be available to meet in reasonable times and locations to listen to concerns with no intent to improve the value terms and conditions. The company is likely to prevail in an argument on good faith bargaining as they withdrew all original proposals and have offered to increase compensation in both existing and new ways. It is a violation of the NLRA for employer to refuse to bargain in good faith, however. That does not mean that they must meet or improve on a single or set of conditions the union demands. In other words, voting tentative agreements or offers down does not in any way compel the company to agree to any of our demands for more on the duty to bargain in good faith through the NLRB website. They could declare an impasse, refuse to meet or bargain. They can increase production in other facilities where similar and same products are made. They can relocate product lines to other existing or new facilities. They can use existing scabs and recruit more to produce products in struck facilities. Prior to negotiations, we had scabs at every Iowa location holding line because more difficulty as any strike wears on. Companies often attempt to break strikes by breaking down community support, solidarity, and resolve. We've already seen effort to end this in Waterloo. They could hire temporary placement workers. While this seems improbable in the current labor market, members should understand there are existing companies whose sole purpose is to help companies withstand a strike. Excuse me. A simple Google search for a placement worker company provides links to businesses such as Maddie Business Continuity, Staffing and Security, Huffmaster Strike Services, Strom Engineering Corporation, Echelon Consulting and Staffing Solutions, and the AFIMAC Global All Business that provide replacement workers among other union busing services. A recent EPA report found U.S. employers spend about $340 million a year in union avoidance. Some of that cost is to strike break. While it is true these professional scabs do not know how to assemble tractors, sprayers, or skid steers, they often have manufacturing experience. Some companies have resorted to using prisoners to labor in factories during strikes and even increased output when there wasn't a work stoppage. Or they could hire permanent replacement workers. In an economic strike, companies are legally allowed to hire permanent replacement workers. The term permanent is an important distinction from six above, according to the NLRB website. They retain their status as employees and cannot be discharged, but they can be replaced by their employer if the employer has hired bona fide permanent replacements who are filling the jobs of the economic strikers when the strike applies. Unconditionally, to get back to work, workers are not entitled to reinstatement at that time. This becomes more common the longer a strike goes on. Caterpillar hired permanent replacement workers in the 1990s, and still today, both strikers and permanent replacement workers labor in the cat factories. An important exemption is that the strikers do not maintain legal or contractual right to return, let alone to the job. Companies have been permitted by law to allow those that they want to return to vacancies not based on seniority and do not have to displace the permanent replacement workers when the strike is called off. Some companies have created and maintained a list of those who will not return once the strike is over. This is all, to me, this is all a scare tactic. And it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it sounds like the union leadership is trying to intimidate their membership.
Absolutely. I should never put that out there.
They've been doing that to the tiers for 10 years already. It's just now they're doing it to everybody. You know who's scared people? Wake up. It's them assholes right here on our switchboard that won't have the balls to push one. Yeah, Ralph, like, we're talking about the likes of you people. You come and you listen to our show, but you won't come in and tell your side of your bullshit story because you know it's all in the sewer. People, we need to get rid of these jokers.
Right. Then Justin shared something I picked up earlier, and I copied and pasted it over to mine, but this is a little blurb. You'll like this one. Enhanced corporate cards. Enhanced corporate cards are available to the IEB and senior administrative staff and allow for increased credit limits that are based on the employee's role in the organization. Enhanced corporate card holders can use their cards to purchase first-line aircraft tickets for business travel of more than 200 miles for themselves and their senior staff. Use them for business meals that do not exceed $150 per person or for a reasonable alcohol cost, although not excessive alcohol cost, and make business entertainment purchases with prior approval from the appropriate officer or IEB member. Wow.
Well, this is the way now like they got, you got to worry about them $100 cigars and them $200 pork chops, you know? We don't pay for this. This is getting sick, people. Now you're going to give them a credit card because they screwed you real good? Did you get a little dry slide with that?
I don't think so.
Well, they made it official. They don't have to eat off the dollar menu.
Yeah, they let the whole world know. $150 a meal, and then did I hear you right? They get alcohol on top of that?
Gee, where you go
yeah.
that it costs $100 for a meal?
Well, you were right, Paul. Listen to what they're saying. These people are negotiating blitzed out of their mind and stuff pigs.
Yeah. They're definitely not at the top of their game. You know, one of the things with strikes is they don't try to pave the way for a successful strike. You know, one of the things that commonly management does is uses overtime and stuff to stockpile parts or whatever before a strike, and the union needs to educate its people. Don't work overtime. Don't do any management any favors. Don't let them get ahead on production before you walk out that door. You know,
in the early 70s, Paul, I mean, my God, I remember, what was it, the 78 or 79 agreement, Gear and Axle, we were on 40 hours for damn near 2 months before that, secretly. The union couldn't tell you to turn down the work, but they would do that. I mean, we were offered work, everything, but we also had a good language at 235 back then that if we had laid off workers, there was a restriction on overtime.
Right.
Yeah, we could work overtime, but we couldn't work wide open.
They used to have that at the old Turnstead plant, the Peregrine plant, whatever they called it.
Coal water plant, Peregrine.
My stepfather worked there. He came up here from North Carolina after the Korean War, and they wouldn't let you work overtime as long as people were laid off. The union does not have the principles it used to have.
Because they're sitting at that table with jointness on the Board of Commissioners and getting that second, third,
right.
fourth, whatever.
Right.
But as soon as they got on the board with Owen Beaver, I believe, wasn't he the first one, Scott, that went on the board?
I think so. And wasn't that the original nickel fund, too? If you worked somebody over, while there were people laid off, you had to pay an additional nickel an hour for every person who worked over,
plus roll-up.
But the difference was when Owen Beaver got this ball rolling, he was trying to make it expensive for the company to do certain things. He made it, tried to make it expensive to close plants. Now we've made it cheap. You know, instead of you get laid off in Flint, Michigan and sit in the jobs bank or collect subs for, you know, for a year or so till they give you a job, now they just say report to Texas in 2 weeks.
Well, here's a tactic that the big three like to use. The lady who is involved at the Waterloo plant for local 838. She's the factory manager at John Deere Waterloo Works. She emailed a letter Tuesday to more than 150 email addresses ranging from business leaders to local elected officials and municipal employees to share an update on John Deere's ongoing negotiations with the UAW. Why would you want to put people's stuff out there like that?
Well, they want to turn the community against the union. You know, Jerry Tucker was very effective because he would organize work to rule campaigns. He would win good contracts without going on strike because they organized on the plant floor and production just slowed down to a standstill. They still got their paychecks because they weren't on strike, and they didn't violate the contract because there's nothing in the contract that says you have to go beyond, you know, what your specified job duties were. And they really messed things up for management. He was also willing to go to stockholders meetings and give the union's case. And he was able and willing to go to the newspapers and whatever to build up the union's case. Our union leaders won't do that. They won't even tell the truth. They let this myth continue that when you get laid off, you get up to 95% of your pay in sub and unemployment. That's crap. And they let the companies get away with spreading that garbage.
Right.
Anybody who collected unemployment and sub knew they weren't bringing home 95% of their pay. They were bringing home
70%. What I like this,
70%.
What I love about sub pay is remember it for a whole year, and if you get 10 years seniority, then you get it for 2 years. Well, then the next, and you got all these credits that say, yeah, you got 104 credits, I think it was, and that was 2 years, but every time I got a sub check, they took like 10, 12 credits away.
Hell, right.
My 1 year sub pay, I was done in like 5 months, and I know Don Couch knows exactly what the hell I'm talking about there.
Yeah. Yeah, anybody that got laid off in the 80s knows what that was all about.
Oh, yeah.
That it was an underfunded sub fund.
What about the TRA? Oh, yeah, I was on unemployment. They told me I had to switch over instead of getting unemployment. You got to get this, and they handed me a check for like $6,000. But they didn't tell you you got to pay all that shit back. Hell, they took $130 a week out of me for like 4 years.
Jimmy. They gave me $6,000 or $7,000. I can't remember. I didn't have to pay a penny back. They didn't take a dime out of my check, and I didn't tell anybody. I didn't say a
word. Wouldn't either, brother. I'm glad you fell through the cracks.
I don't know how that happened, but, man, everybody else was paying $50 a paycheck back to
I'd tell you to shut the hell up, but I know we're past the statute of limitations because some suckers within that 313 switchboard are probably turning your ass in right now.
I know. When they want all our money, want to get in our
They're probably trying to find a way to dock his pension check.
Yeah.
Oh, don't give them no damn ideas. They'll make a stipulation.
Oh, they've already got that idea, Jim. They're so devious.
Yeah. They want to get savings account now, your checking account, anything over. Well, now it's $1,000 they want to check into you.
Oh, they went up from 600?
Yeah.
Is anybody talk to any of these low-paid workers? How do they feel about the fact that they're getting paid less than a restaurant worker now?
Wow.
Isn't that great? The UAW used to set the standard for wages in this country, and now their philosophy is we're going to lowball our pay so that management will keep work in house. And they still outsource their work.
This is nothing new. You haven't even seen the bottom of their pit in the UAW. Look at the hot metal stamping agreement they got at Woodhaven Ford plant. What was that, 7 years ago now, Scott? It terminates said that you will come in that plant at 50 cents above the state's minimum wage, and that's your union.
Yep.
Yeah, and you get to pay union dues on top of it.
Yep.
There goes
yep.
your 50 cents.
Yep, that's it. But it's clear they really don't have a game plan. They don't have one that's an effective game plan. You know, you would think with all the giveaways they have, as far as they've dropped the pay scale, that management would be filling their plants with work, but instead they continue to outsource, go into joint ventures. You know, there's going to be all these jobs making batteries. They're not going to be made in-house. They're going to be a crappy pay scale. It's just one more example of why we need to get control of our union through direct voting. We have to be able to elect people so we can hold them accountable. These people in the top of the UAW are about as accountable to us as Congress is.
They're one and the same people.
Let me throw this out here. So you have all these companies that are supplying the big three. And I don't even know how many of them are UAW represented, but I'm sure there's quite a few that in the future won't be. How far-fetched would it be that our current leadership was told by Big Three, you know what, you're not going to unionize these facilities, because if you do, then we're going to have a problem. So how far-fetched is it that the Big Three control just who the UAW represents? Because it's not our UAW. I mean, I'm sorry, before she comes out and beats me up. It is our UAW, but we are not being represented in our membership. Our membership is not being represented. So how far-fetched is it that maybe the Big Three are running the UAW for us through, you know, a proxy?
Well, when you consider a large share of our so-called union leaders are paid through joint funds that comes directly from management, they do own our leaders, some of them.
Yeah. I mean, Carrie mentioned that with some football tickets, didn't they? They're not supposed to receive gifts.
That's pretty well spelled out in our Constitution.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how much of our Constitution is actually being followed? Because the foxes are in charge of the hen house.
Well, I'll tell you what. Try filing an appeal that's untimely. They'll follow the Constitution there.
Yeah.
They'll tell you you're untimely if you go 61 days. They'll uphold that part of it.
They even found out how to control, though. I'm going to say the they'll use the word radical or militant unions. They'll make them, they'll turn them into amalgamated locals. They'll pull five plants together, and then they'll say, okay, you can only campaign in your plant. He can only campaign over in that plant, but the ones that are elected, they get to go in all the plants, so now they got a great big John party. This amalgamated union shit is another way they're controlling us. It's dividing us so they can win. And they already run the elections. They get to make the rules. And the way the challenge system runs and you can only have one challenger in the room, how the hell can you do that?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot that needs to be fixed. When I went to, I believe it was the 2006 Constitutional Convention, Gary Wachowicz, local, submitted a resolution that said, this is what it said, was the our appeals system had been bastardized. You know, it used to be you file an appeal to try to deal with an issue that you thought was legitimate, and the union was supposed to try to rectify wrong, but now they use the appeals system to beat down their own membership. They don't want to deal with your issue. They just want to draw things out and beat you down and discourage you and tell you you're wrong.
Think about this, Paul. They use it two ways. They use it that way, and then they get the crooks and the thugs that are retired that they want to reward. They hire them to investigate your appeal, so then they get to get an LM2 of another $100,000 a year. Did y'all know that? Hell, the guy that invested in my discharge, and then that's what Norwood's doing right now. Look at your LM2s and your 990s.
Yeah. It's a one-party system right now, and there's no way you can get any justice within a one-party system, because anybody that goes up against them, they use the appeals to just to beat you down and wear you out.
Yep, it's something. It is something.
When have they negotiated to improve working conditions, to improve better pay, to make the quality of life better for the worker on the shop floor? Let me answer that question. And that's part of our Constitution, I do believe, is they're supposed to be in continuous improvement of the working condition, forever trying to get us more money and things to better us, and insurance. Hell, we're giving concessions since 1981. When you give a concession, you're supposed to give it back. People, we're going 40, 50 years now. We ain't getting shit back. Lost 1.2 million jobs, U.S. jobs. Good U.S. jobs. Take it, Scott. Take it, Paul.
Yep. Well, our Constitution says the purpose of a union is to increase wages and improve working conditions, and the team concept didn't do anything to improve working conditions. It pitted worker against worker. The union knew this was going to happen. They knew the history of team concept in Japan. And what it is, they want to take all the worst aspects of Japanese and European systems and implement them against us, but they don't want to give us the pluses that come along with that system. Like in Japan, team concept also brought you a lifetime job if you help the company work toward their goals of better quality and higher productivity. They rewarded you with a lifetime job. In Germany, you know, I understand they want to bring the German system in, but in the German system, it doesn't matter if you're represented by their union. You make the same pay regardless of whether you work for a small job shop or Lear or any of these auto suppliers or the big three. You all get the same pay. But management doesn't want to bring that system in. They want to give us the worst of all worlds.
Yeah. Right. Let me get Adrian on. I think this is Adrian. I just got back on the switchboard, so anybody like to join, push one on the keypad. Adrian, how are
you?
Good
evening.
Here?
Yes, I'm late.
Uh-huh. We'll talk about that later.
That's all right. I was eating my dinner, and it sure was good. But anyway. You know, talking about the team concept, I don't know how many people have read Deming's book. And
which
if you
one?
Read Deming's book, then you will understand the team concept more. Yes, it was totally watered down for in the Big Three. And he presented it to Ford Motor Company first, and they rejected it. So, you know, like I said, all I can tell you is that the team concept is not exactly what he envisioned it to be. Jimmy, I
right.
think you've read Jimmy's book. Am I right? Uh-oh.
Jimmy, are you there? Let me go back to the switchboard.
Hello?
There he is.
You've read Deming's book, right?
Yeah, a little bit of it. The old man was an expert on it, but you're right.
Mm-hmm.
You are right.
Yeah, I had
but
to do a research paper on him, so.
The old man always told me this. Mm-hmm. Team concept would work if you took jointness out of it. He said, let the
Correct.
Workers work their line. Let the team leader work for the worker.
That's
and then
right.
let management tell you what the hell you need to do and let management get your parts. Let management tell you how to do your job and follow your job instruction to a T.
Exactly.
You live with that, you'll be good.
That's right.
That's it.
And I can tell you I proved that point to be, I proved it to be right in the team that I was on.
Your team was gifted. You had they had a good team leader. And if you had a good team leader, it does work. But you still got that shit where they come in. I mean, before I left, they had the team leader putting hours in the computer for your pay.
Oh, hell
no.
No,
no, no.
No, no. No. That's a no-no.
They have too many management functions. They become straw bosses.
Actually, they don't. They take them upon themselves. They won't fight against anything.
Well,
there were a lot
true.
Of things as a team leader that I fought against. It's not. That is a managerial job, and that's what it's going to be. I'm not going to do it. And I had the right to do that. And
right.
not only that, the rest of the team backed me up.
Yeah.
So if you... You know, one of the things about creating division, if management can get any kind of a toehold in to create a division, they will do it. And I watched the team that I was on. Once I was no longer leader, I saw exactly that happen.
Well,
we got to get some of that jointness out. That jointness got to go.
Yeah.
Well, which Deming book did you read that he talks about team? Out of the Crisis? The New Economics?
It's been so many years ago.
Leadership Principles and the Father of Quality. The one I read was Quality, Productivity, and Competitive Position. The old man sent that to me and said, you need to read that. But they didn't mention the team concept in there.
I would agree. Like I said, I had to do a research paper on him. And so when I did it, I can't tell you. I think I read two different books. But what they were, I can't
right.
tell you exactly
he was
the names
he was
of the
very
book.
Smart. He was very smart. And if you read any of Deming, because everybody gets caught up in statistical process control and
and all this theory and stuff. It's common sense.
Common sense. That's right.
That's all.
And it was a stats
Demi
class.
Was.
Yeah, it was a stats class that that we had to do a research paper on him.
Yeah. Demi was very punctual with what he said. You come in and meet somebody, if you were the president of a corporation and he come in and meet with you in his baritone voice, he'd talk to you and he'd ask you what is the goal or the sum
mm-hmm.
of your goal or what do you want to do? And you would tell him that I want to compete in the market with so and so and so and so making whatchamacallits. He'd get up and he'd shake your hand and nice to meet your acquaintance, and I wish you the best. He wasn't going to waste his time with you because you want to compete in the market. That's not what he was about. Now, if you said, I want to dominate the world with the best product that I have, the highest quality product that I have, and put other people out of business, and me only are owning this business, he'd take his suit jacket off and roll his shirt sleeves up and say, let's get to work. It wasn't about sharing a market. It was about you and your product being the highest quality product being sold that people would only want your product, period.
And first-time quality. First-time quality. He was the biggest fighter for first-time quality.
Yes, first-time.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Quality can either be the cheapest thing you have or the most expensive thing you have.
Yeah.
Said Deming, depends on how you want to look at quality. It can be really cheap or it can be highly expensive. So, but that's for another talk. Speaking
yeah.
of things running well, GM's Oshawa Assembly Plant built their first Chevy Silverado pickup truck this last week.
Who did?
Oshawa. Oshawa's open again.
I thought they were sending that back south of Mexico now or some shit. I was told they were
no,
pulling
no,
out.
No, no, no. This is the heavy-duty trucks.
Oh, now I got a question, though. Is that being done by Kemps, Legacy, or Tiers? Because last I knew, they weren't going to let any of the high-paying Tiers in.
It's 90% all new workers. And, yes, they'll fall under the temp language. But we don't negotiate that. Unifor does. AKA Canadian Auto Workers.
Correct. I knew that. But, yeah, that's what I said. That, you know, but there again, you know, like I said, who lost? There's no increase in pay there, people. Yeah, they're making a truck over there. Who's making it, Kelly?
GM.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
and,
you know why they got that new, maybe that's why they got that new expense account add-on where they get $150 a meal if they're 300 miles away, $100 on booze. They're getting a lube job, too. I mean, oil change.
Good question. Don't know.
Don't forget they don't have the medical, the health care costs.
No.
Yeah. No, Master Medical, but in all this new add-on money that they're going to get, there ain't no way they're going to get to that $800 million cap that they talk about. Think about that, people. They're just going to
keep
that.
They don't pay dues us. They don't pay dues us. Their dues
no,
go to Unifor.
No, I'm saying we're supposed to get a reduction in our dues once that gets to $800 million. But the way they're giving all this money out of it, hell, they ain't ever going
to
get it back.
What I could
get
see happening
the 2 hours a month
with Adrian, you, Paul, and Don. Well, Carrie might know some about this, but what I can see happening is as they gradually will speed up Oshawa, as they get better quality and they start speeding that line up, you'll see the overtime at our plant disappear.
Right. Well, you know that union dues issue. That's another reason why we need to elect our leaders directly, because I'm sure all those delegates, I was a delegate the year they voted that in. All those delegates, they all knew their membership didn't want to have the dues increased, but they voted for it anyway. That's why we need control of who our leaders are. I mean, that is nothing more than a slush fund that they can use any way they want to. They can squander all kinds of money trying to unionize other plants, and it's wasted money because we have such a bad reputation. The best way we can organize is to clean up our union first, get some real leaders in there that know how to lead, and then we'll be able to unionize other plants. But nobody wants to vote in an ineffective union that's going to cut their pay and give them another layer of bureaucrats that they have to work harder to support.
Wow.
Our unionizing efforts are a total failure. You know, I went through a union drive at a small – I led a union drive at a small motorhome manufacturing plant it was 1977. It was a small plant in the thumb. They were pulling some of the same crap General Motors does now. They would speed up the line – and then they get bad quality. Then they chew us out for quality issues. And we ended up going through a union drive. We ended up with a tie vote, 59-59, because, you know, they hired a bunch of new people and treated them well. But my point is, you know, back then at least the UAW had a good reputation, and it only fizzled because the company hired a union-busting law firm, and they probably hired about 30 or 40 new people and treated them well, and they didn't understand the issues, so we lost by one vote. But you can't unionize unless you got a good product. You know, the union is a product, in essence, you're trying to sell to people, and it's hard to sell this union. What do we got? One or two more people have been popped again, and more that are being investigated. And, you know, these union-busting law firms, they seize on to all this stuff. When we go to plant to try to unionize it, the company is going to bring out all these facts to the people, all the corruption in the union, and how we've lost, you know, say 90% of our membership at General Motors, and that, you know, the union won't give you job security and can't guarantee a higher wages or anything. I mean, we have to clean up our union through, through direct election before we can rebuild the union movement.
Right. Sad.
So heaven forbids that we do not win direct voting, and we are still stuck with the old system. What are we going to do there?
Adrian, we have to brought up earlier before you come on here. I don't know if you're aware, but I called down to talk to my newly bride yesterday, and she informed me I have now received my fifth ballot. Can you believe this shit?
Wow.
Yeah, I'd be calling the monitor on that.
They don't want you to be able to claim you didn't get a ballot, Jim.
What I think they're doing is, from what the lady told me, once they mail out the second ballot to me, that killed the other ballot. Well, if they keep sending me a ballot, are they killing my vote? Is this their way to get my votes not to count? Because if they keep mailing me ballots, ironically, I'm not going to get one there on the deadline time, right? I don't trust these bastards. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have swore. I'll take it away.
Well, one thing we need to do, regardless of whether or not we win this vote here for direct election, we need to build a second political party within the UAW, because these people are not going to go away just because if we vote out the current system. They're already well organized.
Yes.
And so the thing is, they're not going to just go away. We're going to have to develop another, you know, like I said, another party to fight them. Because, you know, they don't give up this kind of power and this kind of money without a fight.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking on this show because we're not people that were motivated by money or power.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to see the right thing done by the membership. And these people obviously don't care because they really lack moral character when they bring contracts to us that cut the pay in half for new workers. And they expect new people to carry the same workload and get less than half the compensation the established workers get.
Well, they're making more products with way less people than they ever had to, and making
right.
more money than ever.
Right. This whole jointness started because the companies were in trouble because of their own mismanagement. And the thing is, given concessions has not done anything to create jobs or make the companies more competitive within the marketplace. You know, Ford, Chrysler, and General Motors have exited all kinds of markets in the auto industry. But, you know, the Canadian auto workers left the UAW because they did not want to be involved in concessionary bargaining. But we've managed indirectly to destroy that union, too, because we put so much pressure on them with our concessions that they had to get involved in concessionary bargaining to get jobs in their plants. Our UAW has a strategy that's not effective. You know, all the giveaways have not created or retained jobs.
Right. And if they would have organized, if they would have done better contracts when they go to organize, they have
right.
more willing participants to join the
sure.
UAW.
Sure.
It just goes hand in hand. It's basic.
Yeah.
Wow. It's not good. You're in the chat room giving me a little bit of a highlight what's going on there. They're doing a divide and conquer count on Wednesday.
Right.
They have one of the larger factories that'll hold the line, but
Yeah.
He did say that there are no new tiers being added with the new contract. I mean, where
yeah.
I keep the same amount, or, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Sweet. No tears. They could pull that off, and we could fight for that ourselves at the big three.
Right.
I mean, this is an opportunity for the IAB to make a big win and get a statement.
Well, the sad thing about it, I hope they do hold out and get a good contract, but if they do, it only proves they knew how to do it all along and didn't do it. You
Ooh.
Know, the thing is, probably about a dozen years ago, somebody that Jim knows pretty well, who was a chairman of a plant down in the Detroit area, called me up and told me that she was getting a couple people as service reps from the Flint area, two well-known names, by the way. And she asked me what she could expect. And I told her, if you're going to try to hold on to a good contract, you're on your own. But if you're willing to give away your agreement, they'll show you how to do it. And, you know, that's the problem. Our union has been giving away our agreements without a fight.
Yep.
You know, I could accept what's happened if we'd watched the picket line for 6 months and lost. But we just gave everything away. We never fought the fight.
Yep. Yep.
That is right.
And it's
kind of like the movie Braveheart, right? There are negotiated before we've even met.
That's it. Yeah, it's a real sad commentary on these people that we have as leaders now.
Well, it's almost picture perfect, because
right.
If you remember Braveheart, he met with all the nobles and all there, and he granted them lands and other things, other places to make the deal happen, didn't he?
Yep. And they backstabbed him.
Yep. Well, that's where we're at.
Yep.
You know, now you got your sitting president is under ethnic investigation now. And what Jerry said, he's just going to get a slap on the hand.
Oh, yeah. He supposedly is paid back the money for those tickets that he received from a vendor.
But that doesn't abrogate the cost. He still took them initially. No, he didn't see him with a shotgun.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
He was against regulations and rules.
That's right.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter if he paid it back.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. That's why they sent these people to jail and make them pay it back after their sentence. It doesn't matter. They're guilty.
They're guilty. And, you know, this happened 4 years ago, so they say.
Yeah.
2017. So in all these investigations that the FBI has been doing, that never came up until now.
Hmm.
So
well,
he was able to advance, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, it could be that they weren't investigating him yet. You know, somebody might have said something to the FBI.
Otherwise, his number hadn't come up yet.
Yeah.
The investigations are not over. They said the investigation's not over. Like Don said, they're still going down a list of names and peoples and places.
Yeah.
But he's already, by him paying that money back, he's already admitted guilt.
Absolutely.
So he should be relieved of his duties.
That's right.
Thank you.
Absolutely true.
And well, the problem with the feds is they only have so many investigators. They can't investigate everybody at the same time.
Okay.
So they've had to take a little at a time.
Okay.
You know. So that's why everything's continuing.
But we can't get away from, he's already admitted guilt by paying the money back.
Oh, I agree with you. I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying the reason they didn't pop them all at once is they didn't have the manpower to do it.
I can agree with that. Yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah. And then one thing, they're so corrupt, if they removed all of them at once, who would we have left to lead us? I mean, I think they could probably indict everybody.
Well, if you think about it, you don't have anybody to lead you now. There's no leaders there. They're not leaders.
Not in a true sense, no.
No.
You're here as your puppets, corporate puppets.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Well, they're company lackeys. You know,
company
so many lackeys. They're paid... So many of them are paid through joint funds that management really owns them. You know, joint funding should be illegal. Because, they're, you know, the union and management are supposed to bargain at arm's length. It's not a clean relationship that they have.
No. It's tainted.
Yeah.
Tainted with dirty money. Tainted with dirty stolen money.
Yeah.
So. It's sad where we're at. It's sad we're having this discussion.
Yeah, it is. In essence, management all pretty much got the best union management or that union could buy, or that they could buy with money, rather.
Oh, absolutely.
It's sad.
But I don't blame them. I don't blame them for trying, you know. I always told my kids, if you never ask, the answer is always no.
Right.
We'll try it. We'll see what happens. Maybe we'll sweeten the pot. Maybe we'll offer them something else.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Kind of like a side bet.
Yep.
And it worked.
Yeah, they did it gradually, step by step.
Well, sure. I mean, even Norwood's attorney said that in federal court, it was a generational learning period.
Yeah, well,
or generational learning. And that everybody who took that next position got the same thing. They wanted to get a little bit more for themselves also.
That's right.
Problem with this, that was all at the members' expense. Whether through negotiations, monetary funds, offshore accounts, complete lack of morals, integrity, and character.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, they didn't take into account the lack of character on the part of management. You know, this whole thing was sold to us on the idea that it would make our jobs better, make our jobs easier, give you input in your job, make your job more secure. And, it's supposed to give, create a situation where the management had more empathy with the worker, but they have less. The more we give, the more they take. The more we give, the more they expect.
Right.
You know, they kind of reminds me of, Europe in the 1930s before World War II broke out, that the European leaders had the idea if they just treated Hitler nice, he'd treat us nice. Well, it's not the way it worked out. And people like Owen Beaver believe that if we treated management nice, they'd treat us nice. That's not the way it's happened. You know, management is making love to our union leadership, but making war on us.
Right. Exactly.
I'm going to get Kerry back on. Hang on, guys. Hang on. Kerry, you are back.
Sorry, I got disconnected.
Sorry about that.
Just don't let it happen again.
Yes, sir. I'll stay on the switchboard from now on. Go ahead.
Well, where are we at? Just talking about the sad discourse that we are in with our UAW leadership.
Have you heard anything about where all the temporary workers, let's say their clock reset because of all this shit? How did that pan out? Because when you call and ask, I mean, the union ain't going to talk about this because I think it's going to be a real bad taste in these young workers' mouth because this was no control of their own, and now they got to restart their clock. Some of these people may be looking at losing 3-4 years. This is so wrong.
It sounds like that part of the contract was bargained by people who are drunk.
Absolutely. You're right, Paul.
They weren't thinking straight. I mean, can you imagine our union leaders in the late 70s and early 80s bargaining something like that?
Hell no.
They'd have bet us with the plant and we'd have beat their ass in the parking lot. Shit, I swore again. Damn.
Come on, Jim. But you're right. You're damn right.
I know you've seen people go down in the parking lot, and I've seen many brawls in the parking lot over people running their mouth when they should have shut up or otherwise.
Yeah, I've seen plenty. You took it to the locker room or the parking lot or across the street at behind that bowling alley, and you settled it.
Yeah.
That was end of it. And you started the next day and didn't say a word. Nobody went to the front office. Nobody went nowhere. Everybody shut up. Even the person got their butt beat. Nothing was said.
I even seen a fight break out on the assembly line in Detroit at Gear and Axle, where the foreman's decided, we'll let the two employees go in the boxcar, and they bet on who would come out looking the best. That one worked out so good. Them two brothers went in there. Bang, boom, they opened the doors. So done. They walked out. All them dudes did was kick the door. They didn't punch anybody, and they couldn't do shit to them. But, yeah, they were literally betting on who was going to win that fight.
Wow. Yeah, that's something. That's good.
Why would you ever want to trust management when you know they think that way, Ben? That's what got me.
Well, I wouldn't have trusted. Well, there's some I trusted in there after, 35 years. There's a few.
Right. You knew who you could. They earned their respect just like you. Respect's both ways. You give it, you get it. I'm going to clear with that one.
That's right.
Well, you can have great foremen, but they don't call any shots. You might have a foreman who has empathy with his employees and tries to treat him well, but it's his upper-level bosses that are trying to cut your throat. I mean, these plant managers get rewarded for reducing headcount.
A lot of people didn't know, and I know you know, Paul, but in every plant, one of them foremen was really an attorney. Did you know that? Every plant had an attorney on the floor.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the only way I knew that is I can't remember his name, but he showed up in my discharge down at Flint, and it turned out he was an attorney.
Oh, man.
I can't remember his name. Paul might remember. I would have no problem repeating that bugger's name. I actually had respect for him until I found out he was a two-faced whatever. I think it was Preston or something.
Yeah, I knew an employee that went to school, and he turned into a lawyer. He worked in the pit with me, and but that's the only lawyer I knew.
Now that I think about it, I believe that was his name, Harry Preston. But, yeah, the one in Detroit.
He ended up in labor.
Yeah, but he was an attorney.
Yeah, he was. I didn't know he'd been a supervisor.
They just hired a cop at my plant.
Well, they came down out of the attic in one of my plants. That was pretty cool watching them rappel to the floor and the drug dogs running all over. That was a learning experience. Damn glad I was clean.
Yeah, they caught a few in our plant. A couple of big stacked, big lockers. I mean, big lockers full of pot, marijuana plants. They had them hooked up with these lights and everything else. It was great. And a few bars, they busted a few bars in there, but
They were so smart. Right when they were selling our plant gear and axle 235 in Detroit, we were trying to fight the sale with the ground contamination. So we were thinking they had these company coming in, drilling through the floor, taking core samples. And, man, these were the hottest babes you ever saw. Being in an 80% black plant and all these white girls, I'll tell you what, in 5 months, you would not believe how many of these guys they got. It was terrible.
Oh, man. Can't trust. Shouldn't be doing it.
Nope, you're right. Well, hey, I'm going to have to say goodbye early because I just got a ringy-dingy from my wife, so I would like to talk to her before I go to bed, and I hope all my friends have a great day in the woods if you're out there tomorrow. Most importantly, please be safe in the woods, people. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Here, here. Hey.
You're
I have
right.
to sign off, too, because I'm away from home. So good night, you rabble-rousers.
Good night,
have
Paul.
Have a good night, Jim. Have a good night, Paul. Stay safe, everyone. It's sunny.
Remember, direct voting, people. Love you.
Yeah.
Love you more.
Oh,
good luck, Jim.
Yeah. No, it's a love fest. Look out. Oh, we got about 8 minutes, 19 seconds. Go ahead, Gary.
I was going to ask Adrian. Adrian, why do you think that the feds are basically letting Ray Curry get away with paying back that money? Because back then, he would have been Secretary Treasurer. Pay back that money for those tickets that he got from that vendor. Why do you think the feds are going to just let him get away with that? What's your best guess?
I don't believe that he was Secretary Treasurer in 2017.
I think, was it that the position that he was in? I think so.
Gary Jones was Secretary Treasurer.
Yeah, but didn't they appoint him to that position around that
after
time?
Gary Jones was the Secretary Treasurer in 2017. In 2018 is when Gary Jones became the president.
Well, what was his position before that, then?
I am not positive on that. But he was still a part of the caucus, is all I could say.
He was
exactly
a region. He was the UAW
director?
Region 8 director.
Okay.
From 2014 until 2018, in which time he became the UAW Secretary Treasurer.
Okay. But he, like you said, he still shouldn't have been doing that. But I know this to be factual. A couple
okay.
years ago, and when I read this article, it kind of reminded me of something that happened down here at Region 1A. Now, when Roy Gamble was down there as the director, you had him and a whole bunch of them go to Vegas for the Pacquiao fight, and it was the same situation. Where the feds found out about it and they paid back the money.
Was there media coverage
at that event? I'm sure.
No, I'm talking about.
But no, that came through a good source that I know at this plant.
No, what I'm saying is, was it broadcasted through the media as everything is going through the media now?
Right. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. But I can tell you the locals knew about it.
Okay.
Because you know how fast that word gets around.
Yes.
And I actually was told that by an international rep.
Mm.
during the time it was going on.
So he saw nothing wrong with it.
Well, he said basically, yeah, the feds knew about it, and they paid it back. The people that went to the fight paid that back to the regional 1A funds. But no, it wasn't in the media. But when I read that article, it chimed in. It was like a flashback. So I guess as long as you pay back the funds, you can go ahead and piddly around any way you want with the money.
No, that's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
You are still
yep.
in violation because you are not supposed to accept any gifts from vendors. You know, there was a time that vendors came inside the facilities and they would give us hats and
shirts and
little trinkets. And
yeah.
And that stopped. And it was not like the people on the floor was in any type of position where they could make any decisions.
Right.
But it stopped.
Well, the price they had to pay Solidarity House went up, so they couldn't afford to get any more freebies on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Must be talking about all those watches.
Those watches are they're still not coming forth and being given to anybody, have they? The watches are still in a warehouse somewhere.
missing in action.
Right.
They're probably dispersed amongst the feds at this point.
Yeah. Everybody's
welcome.
They're sitting in some storage room in a federal building somewhere. If they did confiscate them.
Yeah. Well, the judge now is sporting a nice watch.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I don't understand why it's so hard to just follow the Constitution. I don't know. I have remembered some people saying things like, well, there's a gray area.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There's not a damn gray area. And I've always said that when they told me that. What it says is what it means.
Stop
trying to take words and turn them around and make them say something else. We have a dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't understand what this word means, go to the dictionary, and you'll see what that means. I always told them that this is the reason why people have a problem reading the Bible. Read what it says. It means what it says. Not your interpretation. If you wanted it interpreted, you should have put words in there like and or, could be. No,
yeah.
You put straight words there. It's sad, very sad. Some people think that for the most part, the members are so dumb.
Well, that's what you think.
this is the way that I feel like we've been played. Like, we're so dumb, we can't read. We don't understand. We can't read for comprehension. Only they can.
Right.
No. Mm-mm. They're too dumb
right.
to be able to forecast. The hell you gonna take and negotiate a 3% raise that's supposed to last for 4 years, or a 3% raise to last for 6 years?
Mm-hmm.
When
well,
you have to
yeah.
look forward. You have to look forward, and you have to deduct or add some things into the play that says, okay, well, no, this is not going to be enough for this. You know, we need more. Or you took away the COLA. The COLA was the help. Just, you know, to me, it's like you look at it and all I can do is shake my head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know that when we gave up all those concessions,
mm-hmm.
that management that year still got all their bonuses. So
mm-hmm.
as far as them trying to pass, the companies were so in dire need. How could they afford to pay all those bonuses out to management then?
Because we took concessions. They were able to afford.
That's right. That's right. So we took the concessions, never got them back, and management and the company still won over. But now we're stuck and never going to – we're what? It's just I think that was at the point where I was like, there's something way wrong here. I mean, I knew there was something wrong anyways,
mm-hmm.
but because I remember having a discussion with a higher management, and he was laughing, literally, and saying, you guys gave up all your bonuses this year and took those concessions, and all my management team's still getting their bonus. And I just thought to myself, my God, we look like a bunch of ass clowns here.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, that's who we have negotiating for, so.
Yep. But it is important for anybody out there listening, retired, active, whatever. If you're going to... Please vote direct voting. It's the only way at this point we're going to be able to help our own selves out and your fellow retirees or active UAW brothers.
Yep, your last chance right here, I believe.
Yep.
In your life.
And actually, these ballots have to be in.
Mm-hmm.
In 5 days at 10 o'clock in the morning, they have to be to Connecticut by 10 o'clock.
Put them in the mail. Put them in the mail. Fill them out. Put them back in that envelope and mail them out, please.
Well, go to the post office.
Right.
Now
you
have to go to the post office.
Hold on for a minute. Is it the 19th they got to be in?
The 19th.
Oh, we've been saying
at 10 a.m.
Scotty, you've been telling everybody the 29th.
Oh, wait.
No. The results are they're going to put the results out on the 29th, or they're going
right.
to count them on the 29th.
Okay, but this is the first time I've heard the word 19 on this show. First time.
No, Scott.
Well, I might
Scott
be wrong.
Holmes, wait said it.
I don't
I might be wrong. Let me check something.
I've been hearing it.
Bring this up.
And I even put it one of my, I believe I did. I don't know if I did or not, but I hope I didn't write it down in a description.
November? Oh, come on here. Don't do that to me. Oh, it's right. You're right. It's November 29th.
Whoa. Thank
November
you.
29th at 10 a.m.
All bails must be received by that time.
Exactly.
Because they extended it. Remember, it was the 19th, and they extended it out.
Okay, well, I never heard the 19th. I have heard the 29th, and I've been telling people and writing emails for that. I have their a little over 100 retirees' emails, so wrote them and said the 29th has got to be in, but get them in before, way before then.
You were right, Don.
Well,
what it is saying is that in order for your vote count, your vote to count, you must be in good standings with the UAW as of November 19th, 2021.
Okay.
At 8 p.m.
All right, that's where the 19th came in. Okay.
That's where the 19th, yes.
All
right. Sorry about that.
That's all right. I only had a heart attack, stroke. That's all right.
I think they were allowing for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's probably what it was.
So it's important that you get your ballot in. I don't care which way you're voting. Just please get your ballots in.
Yep.
I'm praying that we all are voting for direct vote, but I'm not telling anyone how to vote.
No.
But please do vote.
Yes, please do. And this, if you're a retiree and you said, I don't want anything to do with the union anymore, well, this is your chance to stick it to them.
Yep.
If you vote direct system.
And if you had any problems, you know, that made you say that I'm not going to deal with them anymore because, well, then why would you want to vote for what we have? Because it didn't do you any good. So let's, you know, go with the direct vote.
That's right. And don't forget
and
that.
And then maybe you can become involved again.
That's right.
We need every member to be involved if they can.
I agree.
They will be involved.
And you know what?
My room, I won't be able to do it. I know it's my room.
Right. What's going on here?
Yeah, time for me to say goodnight myself, folks.
All right.
Yeah, we've been off the air, Scott. You didn't say anything for about 15 minutes. Didn't know what to do.
Well, don't want to interrupt anybody because I figured we all knew we were off, so my bad.
You're something. But bad doesn't
I was
in it.
Just
but,
reading something about Medicare. You know they're going up on Medicare in 22.
Oh, yeah. I knew that. I heard
that
it.
That little 5.9% is going to be ate up.
Oh yeah. If you didn't get a 5.4% raise this year, you got a pay cut.
that's a fact.
So
a big pay cut.
Yeah. Monster. So
yes. Okay,
all right,
Scott.
Everybody, until next week.
I'll be thinking of your dad. Hope he gets well.
So do I.
Yeah. Prayers for your father, Scott.
I appreciate that. I'm sure he will, too.
And I don't know if they, you know, said happy birthday again to you.
No.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
We ain't going
thank
that
you, everybody.
Far. We're not going that far,
dial
Scott.
It.
Just
dial the years back like I do. I dial every year I get older. I dial it back a couple years.
Really?
Heck yeah.
You do that. You all look.
I'm having the time of my life going forward.
Well, I just like to dial them back.
Okay.
Carrie, eventually you're going to be the most horrendous-looking 23-year-old.
Hey, I'm going to get to the point where I got to go get the men in the high school. That's where I'm going.
I got
I'm it. Dialing it back.
Hey.
Cougar.
Yes, Carrie?
Cougar.
All you have to do
is... I married somebody 12 years younger than me. Come on now.
All right.
That's that voice.
No.
Hey, Don, you know, when Don hangs out at the high school, then there's a pedophile. Carrie, she doesn't have that problem.
Oh, shut up.
Carrie, I think your guardian angel drinks.
Pretty soon, when you open a Hustler magazine so you can get a boner when you get 80 years old, you'll see 1-800 Carrie for a good time. Call me. I'll talk to you.
Hey.
Because she'll have that sexy voice.
Maybe by then they'll have the Viagra for women.
Look out. Oh, God. You're all hard and stiff. I don't want that. Little dicks. No, thank you. Little penises. That'd be oddly looking at that running away. It scared the hell out of me.
Good night, everybody. I'm leaving. Everybody have a good week. If you want to hunt,
thank you for
be careful.
This post about getting an extra $1,200 a year.
You're more than welcome. I know
you'll
fall off.
Yeah, I'll spread that word.
Don will or not, but, you know.
Yep. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I got my.
I know where my DD-214 is.
And my honorable discharge. Yeah, I had to get it. I had to send for it a few years ago.
I really don't. Oh, okay.
All right.
And it was so old, it ripped in half, and I don't know what the hell happened. After three different, you know, houses. All right, guys, everybody.
Have a good night.
We're gonna
have a good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
You guys all be safe and careful. We'll see you next Sunday night on the UAW Factory Whistle Show. And I will not be putting on 313 next week. I can hear him coming back. Like
DPP! Oh!
Okay. You freaky Ford workers, I swear. Talk to you all later.
You GM pedophile guys got to go.
Oh, you guys are freaks. Every one of you. Oh, man. Out of here.
We can't help ourselves.
Yeah. We'll start the show at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
I didn't think it was 7:30. I had to go check.
Yeah. It was, like I said, dinner was so good. I forgot what time it was.
Yeah. Does your husband call it dinner now? Is that what it's called?
He cooked pork chops and chicken wings, and you know he doesn't eat pork, so he cooked pork chops for me. And, oh my God!
That does sound good.
Yeah, that's a treat in our house.
Oh, yeah, and the way meat is going up, man. Go kill us a pig somewhere. We'll send 313 somewhere down in Texas to get us one of those wild boars and hope he doesn't come back.
Why are you talking about wild boars?
I thought you were gone, damn it.
I'm about to whip somebody's ass. I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, if you don't leave me alone, you're gonna have to send me home, 'cause I'm about to whip somebody's ass.
That's for 313. You all have a good night, and be safe all week, and we'll talk to you next Sunday night. Got it? Get it. UAW Factory Whistle Show. Please vote. Get your ballots in. Good night, everybody.
Well, when you gotta go, you gotta go.